Hello and welcome to Bolivia Weekly, our weekly podcast featuring all the most important news from Bolivia. To subscribe, please see our website at www.boliviaweekly.com or find us on iTunes by searching for Bolivia. I'm your host, David Holman, and if you enjoy listening to this podcast, please recommend it to your friends, and don't hesitate to comment in all your favorite social networking sites. Headlines for this week. Devastating floods submerge entire villages in the Bolivian Amazon. Carnival begins in Oruro. Evo Morales decrees a harsh new law against drunk driving. Bolivia accepts 88 Haitian refugees, at least temporarily. Bus drivers declare a strike to protest the new law against drunk driving. Ex-President Paz Zamora is charged with vehicular homicide with alcohol in his bloodstream. And the first Bolivian convicted under the new drunk driving law is controversial Movement to Socialism party member Felix Pazzi. These and other stories to come, but first, a thanks to our sponsor, The Spitting Llama Bookstore and Outfitter. Learn more at www.thespittinglama.com. Now, the news from Bolivia for the week ending Sunday, February 7th, 2010. On February 2nd, a powerful hailstorm devastated 60% of the potato and fava bean crops of a small community of Mojona in the Potosí state. José María Linares of the Potosí State Government's Social Development Office indicated that the hail fell this past week on the small and remote community and destroyed 60% of the crops that were grown to feed the small village. After 80 highway deaths in January due to multiple egregious bus accidents involving high speeds, negligence, poorly maintained buses, and alcohol, President Evo Morales has announced that he will make a presidential decree ordering harsh penalties for traffic violations. In addition to pressing charges against bus drivers and other drivers who are drunk, sleepy, unlicensed, or in violation of other laws, this decree will also hold the police responsible if they allow a drunk driver past their checkpoint. Vice Minister of Transportation José Quin announced that among the new penalties, any driver found over the legal alcohol limit will have their license revoked for life. In addition to a lifetime prohibition for drunk drivers, the new law will reinforce the government's right to temporarily suspend the operating license of any company whose driver is found to be drunk, and to press criminal charges against the owners of companies whose drivers are found to be drunk. Keen also spoke about harsh penalties for police that don't enforce traffic rules, such as proper use of turn signals and emergency breakdown signals. Traffic police in Bolivia are very low paid and sometimes corrupt. However, despite all the problems of bad roads and bad driving, Bolivia has a traffic death per capita rate only slightly higher than that of the United States and Europe. According to the National Institute of Statistics in 2008, there were 39,814 traffic accidents that resulted in 1,248 deaths and 13,309 injured, figures that have all doubled since the year 2000 in Bolivia. This gives Bolivia a traffic death rate of 13.5 per 100,000 people, slightly higher than the U.S. rate of 12.3 per 100,000 and that of Europe at 11 per 100,000, with Britain scoring the best at just 5.9 per 100,000. Africa ranked as the most dangerous region, with almost double that of Bolivia, 26 deaths per 100,000. Since 2001, when Bolivia instituted SOAT, or the Mandatory Crash Insurance Program, the program has paid out to 11,946 injured and killed persons, some $62 million. On Wednesday, February 3rd, President Evo Morales asked Bolivians to defend the Pachamama, or Mother Earth, by each planting a tree and speculated on issuing a supreme decree to that effect. Evo made these comments at the annual opening ceremony of the Colonel Gualberto Villarruel Military College, saying, quote, "I'm so excited about this that I'm thinking about issuing a supreme decree that every Bolivian must plant a tree. We'd have 10 million trees to protect Mother Earth, and it would be a great way to mark the International Earth Day on April 22nd, end quote. Morales said that both private citizens and those in the branches of the military would be involved in tree planting, and that soldiers also specialize in environmental protection. There is an ongoing standoff on the Bolivia-Peru border in the Amazonian part of the La Paz state along the Suchez River. A Peruvian company is mining gold in territory thought to belong to Bolivia and indiscriminately dumping all the tailings in the river, causing large-scale agricultural losses to Bolivians downstream. Local Bolivians have delivered an ultimatum for the problem to be solved, or they will threaten more radical measures that may lead to violence. The nearby town of Pelachuco's municipal government has proposed a multinational meeting of engineers, mining officials, and representatives to resolve the pollution and border issues on February 25th in order to avoid confrontations. Much of the pristine jungle cloud forest region of the La Paz state is being ravaged by gold mining, brought on by historically high gold prices, and miners generally site their mines above rivers so as to dispose of the tailings as easily and quickly as possible. On February 4th, Sacha Llorente, the Minister of Government, announced that the National Police have suspended Felix Patsy's driver's license for life. Patsy, a sociologist of Aymara descent, was a young and controversial Minister of Education in Morales' first government who sought to decouple mandatory Catholic religious classes from Bolivia's public education system, among other things, before resigning amid public accusations. Patsy was currently running for the post of governor of La Paz with Morales' Movement to Socialism party, but stepped down today at a press conference where he also announced that he had been stopped by the police the past Thursday before dawn for drunk driving. Patsy admitted that he had been drinking heavily at a wake for a cousin who had died on Wednesday and decided to leave while drunk. Police are prosecuting Patsy for drunk driving at a time of national outrage with drunk drivers due to a string of fatal bus crashes. President Lula of Brazil reaffirmed his commitment to natural gas purchasing contracts with Bolivia, despite Brazil's recent discovery of large offshore oil and gas reserves. Lula said, quote, "We have to help Bolivia, which is a poor country. We're not going to stop buying just because we have more gas. The role of a big country is to buy and help the poor. This is the politics of solidarity. Today we need Bolivian gas, but now we don't depend solely on Bolivian gas. I have faith that with the Presal, these new deep water reserves, that we will have much more gas and be self-sufficient." Lula made these remarks at the inauguration of South America's largest gas pipeline, the Gasduc 3. However, Lula remarked largely negatively on Evo's nationalization of Bolivia's gas, of which Brazil's Petrobras is the largest foreign company, owning some 40% of the Bolivian market. Lula cited disagreements with Bolivia, saying, quote, "We can't keep fighting with Bolivia," end quote. Later, Brazil's cabinet chief, Dilma Rousseff, said that there was no reason to worry about Bolivia cutting off Brazil's crucial gas supplies, saying, quote, "I don't think that Bolivia is going to cut off our gas. There is no reason for Bolivia to do this. Moreover, we have a diversity of supply sources." To all you listeners out there, Bolivia Weekly is accepting applications for interns and journalists to cover the following subject areas: politics, environment, sports, travel and tourism, Bolivia and international news, oil, gas, and mining, economy, and local sections for regions and cities. We have a few basic requirements, one of which is an advanced level of Spanish and English, fluency preferred, a commitment to write between 2 and 7 well-written, researched, unbiased news stories per week, and we'd ideally like a proficiency with audio recording software and an ability to contribute audio content to this weekly podcast. Please send a resume and a cover letter with one paragraph in English and one paragraph in Spanish explaining why you will be a good reporter for Bolivia Weekly to info@thespittinglama.com. Taxi driver Juan Bautista Castrillo died in the San Juan de Dios Hospital on January 27th from injuries sustained when he and two passengers were hit head-on by a truck driven by ex-president Jaime Paz Zamora near Tarija. Zamora's blood tested positive for alcohol, but was within the legal limit, as did that of the deceased driver of the other vehicle. The victim was a 54-year-old taxi driver named Juan Bautista Castrillo, who died in the hospital shortly after the accident. Yolanda Torres, the driver's widow, has pressed homicide charges and attempted to contact the ex-president to pay for her 5,000 boliviano, or about $714, hospital bills, but Paz Zamora has not returned her calls. On February 3rd, the Bolivian Drivers Confederation has declared a 48-hour nationwide bus strike Tuesday and Wednesday of next week to protest a strict new law that aims to crack down on drunk driving after a month where several fatal bus crashes left almost 80 people dead on Bolivia's roads. One bus driver of a large reputable company, Cosmos, caused a crash that killed 5 and injured 43 while drinking hard liquor with his brother and friends in the driver's compartment. The driver tested 4 times above the legal alcohol limit and had no driver's license. Confederation Director Franklin Duran said that the new measure is an attack on the job security of professional bus drivers, and the newly approved measure against drunk driving will deprive many of his co-workers of their jobs. Duran said that there are many problems with the new Supreme Decree against drunk driving, and that the Confederation will be presenting a different proposal to the government that, if not accepted, will lead to more roadblocks. Duran said that after the 48-hour strike, that if the government does not back down, they will begin an indefinite nationwide roadblock. Bolivian Immigration confirmed that as of January 27th, Bolivia has admitted 88 Haitian refugees who are now located in the city of Santa Cruz. Most are women and children who entered Bolivia via Peru on a 30-day tourist visa. According to the newspaper El Potosí, the Haitians tried to enter Argentina at the Villazón La Quiaca border point but were refused entry. Immigration reports that the Haitians are free to move about the country and have not solicited to stay longer in Bolivia at this point. Our next story is written by Culture and Society reporter Nate Stevens and read by David Holman. Yesterday, February 4th, Bolivians in several departments celebrated Jueves de Compadre, a male-only holiday which traditionally begins the annual carnival celebration. Although the holiday is recognized to some extent in all parts of Bolivia, the festival is concentrated in Tarija, Potosí, Sucre, and Cochabamba. Each department celebrates the day in unique ways, but the consistent theme of the holiday is that women prepare the food and drink while men enjoy a day of dancing and socializing. Next Thursday, the women of Tarija, Sucre, and Cochabamba will have their day in Jueves de Comadres. In a twist on Jueves de Compadres, the women enjoy a day in which the men prepare the festival, while women relax and enjoy being waited upon by the men of the community. The weekend following Jueves de Comadres, everyone gets a chance to enjoy themselves as Carnival explodes in many cities of the country. Bolivian politicians have delivered a curt response to Brazil's somewhat condescending stance on the binding oil and gas contract between the two nations. President Lula of Brazil said recently on February 4th, after Brazil discovered huge reserves of oil and gas in deep offshore waters, that, quote, "Shortly we will put our hands in our chests and say we have had enough natural gas, and we will continue buying gas from Bolivia because it's a poor country and we have to help them," end quote. Lula neglected to mention that Bolivia provides the majority of Brazil's foreign natural gas needs at present, and that Brazil voluntarily entered into a long-term binding contract with Bolivia that has strict enforcement terms. Lula did not mention the contract explicitly in his speech, and instead portrayed honoring the document as a favor to its downtrodden neighbor. Bolivian Vice President Garcia Linera said that the contract is, quote, "obligatory and includes penalties for parties that break the contract," end quote. The contract mandates that Bolivia provide 22 million cubic liters of natural gas per day to Brazil, and that Brazil must buy that amount regardless of demand. Linera said, quote, "These are contracts. These are contracts and must be obeyed and valued irregardless of the goodwill of governments." Lula had said in his speech that, quote, "We have to help Bolivia, which is a poor country. We're not going to stop buying just because we have more gas. The role of a big country is to buy and help the poor. This is the politics of solidarity. Today we need Bolivian gas, but now we don't depend solely on Bolivian gas. I have faith that with the Presal, the deep water reserves, that we will have much more gas and be self-sufficient, end quote. Lula made these remarks at the inauguration of South America's largest gas pipeline, the Gasoducto Tres. Minister of the Presidency, Oscar Coca, who was previously the oil and gas minister for Bolivia, also emphasized that Brazil must obey the contract without regard to, quote, sentiments of goodwill, affection, or disaffection. One complies with legal contracts, and this has nothing to do with the grades of sentiment or with the idea of giving or not giving us help. There is a contract that was signed some time ago, has a duration, and that must be obeyed, end quote. Brazil signed the contract in question in the 1990s, and it is valid through 2019. Nardi Sukso, anti-corruption and transparency minister, has denounced a $64 million fraud scheme in the Bolivian National Lottery, or Lonabol. Sukso said at a press conference, quote, "We should say that all of the irregularities show that Bolivia suffered a loss of between 452 and 530 million Bolivianos between 2002 and 2010. We are therefore pressing charges against the former and current administrators of the National Lottery, along with members of the Lotex company," end quote. Sukso filed charges against the lottery director Marco Antonio Cárdenas and four ex-executives, along with Lotex employees, for fraud and national harm. Sukso identified numerous irregularities and discrepancies between the administration contracts between Lotex and Lonabol and the actual income of the Bolivian state, which was supposed to be getting 15% of all the lottery proceeds. Evo Morales' Movement to Socialism, or MAS, party candidate for governor of the state of Beni, the British-Bolivian supermodel Jessica Jordan, age 24, personally delivered aid to flood victims near the city of Trinidad on January 29th. Jordan worked alongside the Bolivian civil defense workers and Venezuelan doctors distributing aid, but insisted that their presence was a coincidence. Jordan said, quote, "I'm going to donate food, and I'm seeing a lot of people in need. The flood victims are here in the streets, and I can't tell the civil defense not to go if I'm going to go, so it's a coincidence that we have appeared in the same place," end quote. When asked how much she invested in the aid she was handing out, Jordan said, "I couldn't say a total, because a lot of people have donated clothing. It's from my friends, from people that have sent food, from Santa Cruz, from all over, friends from Trinidad that have decided to help." Jordan had recruited a medical squad that was attending victims nearby. Jordan explained, quote, "I'm not here campaigning because I'm not giving out flyers or giving out shirts or giving talks. Absolutely nothing like that," end quote. The MAS's political opposition criticized Jordan's flood victim aid. Opposition legislator Herbert Salvatierra said that, quote, "This doesn't surprise us. In Pando, we have seen the MAS taking resources from the state government to use in their campaign. Just several weeks ago, it was discovered that 7 million Bolivianos, or about $1 million, had disappeared from the state government," end quote. Salvatierra did not present evidence of these claims. Urgente. The Vice Minister of Transportation spokesperson Emilio Rodas accredited 36 Cosmos drivers out of a total of 78 for complying with the strict new professional driving laws established under Decree 420. Cosmos can now operate on any route in the country except for the Cochabamba-Santa Cruz route, where one of their drivers caused a fatal accident when he was four times over the legal limit for alcohol and unlicensed. Rodas said, quote, "We have finished the first stage of distributing national professional driver's licenses to the Cosmos fleet, executed by the Transit Authority, Identification, and our Vice Ministry. Cosmos has presented its paperwork, and this has been processed by the police. Cosmos is now authorized to operate in the entire country except the Cochabamba-Santa Cruz route." Rodas indicated that passengers should ask to see their driver's professional license which must have the driver's personal information, legal representative, technical information of the bus company, addresses, and phone numbers. Cosmos director René Cruz expressed his happiness with this result, saying, quote, "We were very worried because we thought the suspension was indefinite. We thank the government for this authorization," end quote. Cruz indicated that permission to operate the Cochabamba-Santa Cruz route is in the vice minister's hands. Similar authorization was also presented to the companies Copacabana and Cochabamba, which recently caused high fatality crashes. The government approved Supreme Decree 420 last Wednesday after a 20-year-old unlicensed Cosmos driver killed 5 and injured 43 because he and his assistants were completely drunk. The new law suspends the license of convicted drunk drivers for life and sanctions bus company owners. This measure against drunk driving has been rejected by the Confederation of Professional Drivers, who are promising a nationwide roadblock beginning next Tuesday. Bolivia's Civil Defense reported February 6th that some 28,000 families, thus over 100,000 individuals, have been displaced by flooding and natural disasters during this particularly harsh rainy season, and 11 deaths have been reported so far. Minister of Defense Ruben Saavedra Soto announced that two large Hercules aircraft from the Bolivian Air Force have been loaded with 13 tons of vital food and necessities and have been flown to the affected populations in the Bolivian Amazon. In the Cochabamba state, there are some 12,000 families in the low-lying Amazonian areas that have been left homeless, including the critically threatened indigenous groups such as the Yurucares and Yukis, who have abandoned their villages and are pleading for help from regional authorities. Cochabamba's Chief of Civil Defense, Colonel Maximiliano Morales, informed the press that they have identified some 300 people trapped on the roofs of their houses in the Cochabamban Amazon. Help is being very slow to arrive to flooded communities such as Chimoré, Entre Ríos, Puerto Villarroel, and Chinaota, and Via Tunari, because multiple large rivers have cut off road access to these towns. The major road between Cochabamba and Santa Cruz is open, but threatened by several rivers and potential landslides. Similar conditions exist across Amazonian Bolivia, where over 100,000 people are fighting for their homes and their lives amid devastating El Niño floods. Several different indigenous groups over the past week have denounced Evo Morales and the MAS government as overly bureaucratic and only representing the interests of large Andean indigenous groups. On Friday, February 5th, the representative of the Ethnic Peoples of Santa Cruz coordinator, Enaida Charupa, denounced that President Morales did not respect their list of candidates to represent their 5 tribes in the upcoming April regional elections. Charupa complained that the indigenous Guarayos, Guaranis, Chiquitos, and Yurucare Mojeños are being excluded from the regional elections and decried the Morales government for paralyzing indigenous groups to act outside of the strict Movement to Socialism party bureaucracy. Likewise, the Indigenous News Network interviewed Antonio Machaca, the former Malku, or spiritual leader of CONAMAC, the powerful National Council of Coyasuyu Marcas and Ayus, who lambasted Morales as someone who, quote, takes power rather than building power. Machaca said that this attitude conflicts with the ancestral Aymara philosophy of consensus building and shared power. Machaca said that indigenous people have little power in Bolivia, and that despite Evo Morales's indigenous background, he still needs to create more links with indigenous groups. Machaca said, "We indigenous authorities maintain an ancestral philosophy which is the construction of power, not the immediate taking of power. For them, the Movement to Socialism government, they should have a constant process of political and ideological formation without forcing us to play certain roles. We have always questioned Brother Evo Morales, but we're also conscious that as an indigenous movement, we must fight for change." Machaca softened his tone somewhat and explained that the construction of power should come from the grassroots of each region. He said that, quote, "We are living through an unprecedented transition because we were manipulated by the neoliberal governments that were very distanced from the indigenous peoples. But this chapter of change will be very difficult, and we believe that through the social sectors, this change will be possible." At the same gathering, the president of CIDOB, the Confederation of Indigenous Peoples of Bolivia, Adolfo Chavez, said that indigenous people from the Amazonian regions do not feel represented in the plurinational state, nor are they part of Morales' cabinet or team. Chavez said that, quote, these people that serve as ministers of the president and all Bolivians have forgotten about reaching out to eastern Bolivia with the Chaco, with the Amazon. They are just seeing the West, just trying to make little patches. But I believe that here comes the reaction not only of the Guarani People's Assembly, but of other groups that have just spoken out, end quote. Chavez stopped short of denouncing the Morales government and said, quote, there is still the possibility to correct this. I believe that in practice, this multiculturalism has to be corrected and we have to help redirect these things. The only indigenous member of the Morales cabinet, Antonia Rodriguez, is closely linked to union groups, not indigenous groups, and the rest of the 20-member cabinet is considered non-indigenous by CIDOB and CONAMAC. Now we turn to reporter Michaela Hagen for stories on STD prevention during Carnival, new school opening information, and a profile of the nonprofit group Eco Bolivia, dedicated to preserving the Medidi rainforest.
Health officials in Sucre present pre-Carnival health fair. In an attempt to prevent the further spread of HIV/AIDS and other revelry-related health hazards during this year's Carnival, health officials in Sucre presented a preventative health fair in Bolivar Park beginning last Friday. Members of the Carnival's Interinstitutional Prevention Network hope to educate citizens, beginning in childhood, about the risks associated with bacchanalian excesses. Despite Sucre's recent bad weather, various organizations, including the police, the HIV/AIDS project of the Chuquisaca Department of Health, the Family Protection Brigade, the Defenders of Childhood and Adolescence, the Red Cross, and the Bolivian Consortium of Childhoods came together to demonstrate the consequences of overconsumption of alcohol, including accidents, murders, fights, rapes, unplanned pregnancies, and the transmission of STIs. Angel Mendia of the Chuquisaca Department of Health stated, everyone has the right to enjoy themselves, but not to excess. Our goal is that these people, youth and adults, understand the risks that they run and that they enjoy the Carnival in a healthy way. Classes begin Monday in Bolivia with a regionally modified school calendar. The Deputy Minister of Scholastic Education, Germán Jiménez, explained that some Bolivian schools began their school years last Monday with a modified or partial schedule of classes due to floods or other unavoidable issues. The Ministry of Education has decided that there must be tolerance in central Bolivia for modifications to the school calendar for each region and community affected by the floods, explained Jiménez. Jiménez also reminded citizens of the Ministry of Education's recent declaration that no school could require the purchase of uniforms or school supplies, and that schools were not allowed to charge in addition to normal tuition. Quote, it is never obligatory to purchase school supplies. Some schools require the purchase of a certain list of books or other things. If these schools continue with these irregularities, parents should report them, and the Commission of Supervision, Security, and Control will investigate. Eco Bolivia is one of the oldest and best-known conservation organizations in Bolivia. Their work focuses on the conservation of the Medidi National Park region of the Amazon rainforest and the sustainable development of the communities in the region. One of the most important victories was the establishment of the Medidi National Park in 1995, which is federally protected and covers 15 million hectares and contains an unmatched level of biodiversity. With their partner organization, Medidi Travel, Eco Bolivia focuses on the on-the-ground research and legislative lobbying for federal protection of vital land. Their specialists and guides have charted a course that includes opening up Medidi Forest area to international scientists and tourism in order to generate revenue and awareness, with the central and immutable goal of conserving the forest and protecting all of its life forms. Medidi Travel is widely considered one of the top ecotourism outfits in Bolivia. When the American National Geographic did a cover story about the forest in 2000, it was Eco Bolivia's staff that guided the reporters. While Eco Bolivia and Medidi Travel have built international partnerships and conditionally encouraged openness, The organization remains fiercely committed to sustainable conservation grounded in the people and realities of Bolivia. On their website, they note that, quote, "True conservation work requires on-the-field work, not glamorous studies and publications resulting from brief forays into the area and from those who live in the cities. Studies that do not reflect the reality of the conditions of the local population or that are used for others to patent the flora and fauna of the area based on local knowledge, leaving the original inhabitants of the area in conditions of poverty. True conservation work is risky, tiring, and requires dealing with the conflicts with the economic interest groups such as mining companies, lumber companies, oil companies, land hoarders, etc." Eco Bolivia activist and former Medidi travel director Rosa Maria Ruiz had received multiple international accolades for her conservation and community organizing work. However, Ruiz and the organization have also been subject to accusations of cultural exploitation and government sanction. In addition, the organization has survived several yet unsolved burning of their eco lodges.
That's all for the news this week. I'm your host, David Holman, and thanks for joining us. To learn more about these stories and to comment, please see our website, www.boliviaweekly.com. Thanks to our sponsors, the Spitting Llama Bookstore and Outfitter, promoting ecotourism and multicultural learning at locations in Copacabana, La Paz, and Cochabamba. For more information, please see www.thespittingllama.com. That's all for this week's show, and I hope you'll tune in next week. I'm